Welcome to After the Leap. My name is Hayden Adams, and in this series, I want to explore interviews with individuals who have made the leap, who have changed from employees, who have left corporate jobs, who have made that leap to being solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, and self-employed individuals. In this podcast, I'm going to speak with Angela Duns, a LinkedIn expert who focuses on LinkedIn lead generation for solopreneurs, small businesses, and other companies that want to grow their business on LinkedIn. So without further ado, please welcome Angela Duns. Hey, welcome, Angela. Thank you for being on After the Leap.
Thank you for having me, Hayden. This is going to be really fun.
You're so welcome. So I want to kind of take us through this journey you've had. I know you're a Green Bay Packers fan, so I know everything starts somewhere in Wisconsin. So kind of take us through from the trip from Madison. Now we're out here in San Francisco, California. Well, I guess Marin County right now. But how it happened to get from Madison, Wisconsin, you have an MBA, and you ended up now doing full-time lead generation for LinkedIn. So take me through this journey and then talk me through also after that leap of making that leap to doing lead generation for LinkedIn.
Well, I've never really intended to be an entrepreneur. That was not ever a thought even in the back of my mind. I like financial security. And it just, you know, if you're an employee's kid, that's just kind of the path that you take. You don't really think about being an entrepreneur. But in 2010, I got my MBA in Wisconsin. I had been a high school teacher before that, and I decided I wanted something different. Burnout rate's like 5 years for teachers. I made it for 10. So I was looking at options, and I had always wanted to get my MBA and get into business. So I got my MBA, and that was a rocky enough road as it was because I don't do math, and an MBA is nothing but a lot of math. So there was a lot of crying and gnashing of teeth through that whole process and hand-holding by fellow students and all kinds of interesting things through that. And once I got my MBA, I started applying for jobs back in Madison, Wisconsin. And in 2010, things hadn't recovered very well. And the Midwest was hit much harder than the West Coast in the downturn. And my first job offer came in at $30,000.
$30,000 with an MBA.
With an MBA. I just went $60,000 into debt to get that MBA with quantitative analysis, which I've been told is the qualifier for the caliber of the MBA program that you go through. And I went for the full thing. I had been making $45,000 as a teacher, and because I had a post-baccalaureate and had several credits towards a master's. And I wondered why I was going to be getting $15,000 less and having to work all summer with an MBA. So I called a couple of friends of mine that worked for Deloitte in Chicago and said, hey, what's the lay of the land down there? What would it make any sense for me to move to Chicago? And they were like, no. They were like, get out of the Midwest. Go to a coast. East Coast was not a choice for me at all. I'm a West Coast girl all the way. So being really frustrated working as a manager at the Sheraton, I did some research into what city I might land myself in. And I looked at Houston and Dallas and Denver and Seattle and Portland and all kinds of different places. And I knew from the get-go I'd probably end up in San Francisco. I love it here in San Francisco.
You've been here before?
I had been here twice before for climbing vacations in Yosemite, and the nearest airport is here. So, you know, I had seen the Golden Gate, and I don't know. You either love San Francisco or it's okay. I loved it from the get-go. Just loved the vibe here. You know, this is ground zero for so much.
I agree. I mean, I think one person quoted San Francisco as being a 49 square miles surrounded by reality. There is this allure of San Francisco that is unlike any other city out there in America, that I would have to say.
Well, there is a creative vortex here that I think makes it pretty much the center of the world for so many things. It is just, it has an innovative entrepreneurial vibe that is a long history here. It's just, there's just something in the water. There's something in the DNA of this place that brings that out of people in a big way. I mean, even if you look at bartending, most of the cool drinks were invented here.
That is true. I mean, we do have the famous, which is not quite bartending, but the Irish coffee, of course, came from the Buena Vista in San Francisco. So amongst many drinks,
the Mai Tai was created in Oakland.
Yep. Trader Vic's, I believe, was the Mai Tai originator location. So it's, I agree.
You look at any industry and something started here. Anyway, so I chose San Francisco as my destination, and I spent 4 months dismantling my entire life in Wisconsin. I sold everything, had said goodbyes to lots of my friends in different places that I loved, and just really wound everything down and packed up a Jetta and drove for 4 days until I got here. I had found my roommate on Craigslist, so I had absolutely no idea what I was getting myself into. But I had my shiny new MBA, and I was going to get a corporate job, and everything was going to be okay. And I applied for hundreds upon hundreds of jobs. And I figured it would take some time, but it never happened. And so I started bartending at the Melting Pot at Larkspur Landing. And I was very unhappy. I kept applying for jobs. And out here, unless you've had 10 to 15 years experience in an exact title, it's very difficult to get hired. And without knowing anyone on the inside of the company, it is also very, very difficult to get an interview, to get hired. I had tons of great qualifications. I thought it attracted no one's attention. I did informational interviews. I did all kinds of things. Finally, 2 years after I landed here, the Entrepreneur Center, the Renaissance Center in downtown San Rafael, opened up. And for one of their very first events, I showed up to see what it was all about. I met the director, Boku Kodama, and we had a really interesting conversation right off the bat. I was hoping to meet him. I was not expecting to be able to talk with him at length and deeply about all kinds of things. Through the course of the conversation, he found out that I had a post-baccalaureate in curricula design and instruction. And he said, I've got a project for you. Please show up on Saturday for this informational meeting about this new curricula that I would like to design by committee called Encorepreneurs. The whole idea was to help over 50s who were not getting hired back into corporate America or in between jobs and nothing was happening, if they choose to start their own thing as a transitional gig or as an alternative. How do you do that if you've always been an employee? So I showed up at the meeting, and one thing led to another, and eventually I was hired to write this 11-week curricula, 4 hours on a Saturday, and design this class that helps you figure out what are your best skills, what is your best option, what do you already know that you can leverage immediately to make money.
And you were saying before the Encorepreneur, that was what, 50-plus? And, of course, past a certain age, they'd either be retired or technology was beyond them at a certain age. We have to be realistic about this, everybody who was on the podcast. After a certain age, certain technologies aren't as viable as they used to be for a younger marketplace.
Right. And so a lot, we even had some 70-year-olds in the first pilot class. And so one hour unit of this Encorepreneurs course was LinkedIn. And the committee was mostly in their 50s and 60s. And of course, no one was going to touch teaching LinkedIn because that's technology, that's social media, that's the internet. Oh my God. So Beaucoup said, Angela, you're going to have to teach yourself LinkedIn and teach this class yourself. So I studied up and figured out best practices and some great ways to use. At that time, it was a little bit new for people to be using LinkedIn for lead generation and business building. It was still more of a job seeker's platform.
Yeah, and what year was this?
That would have been in 2011.
It was still finding its way back then. It was still kind of not knowing. I've used LinkedIn almost from the start, and I've even found for a lot of years that it was kind of trying to find its way. From a solopreneur standpoint, I wasn't quite sure how to use it, aside from, as you just said, looking for a job. So you nailed the early era of the LinkedIn world.
And I still meet people at networking events, and they're like, oh, that's just a job seeker's platform. I still get that. But I think it's more so a lead generation and a B2B platform than it ever was, or maybe than it was ever intended. Anyway, so I taught this class, and most people were like, and that's with the free version of LinkedIn? I can do promotion of my business and marketing for free on a B2B platform. So it was very popular, and Beaucoup said, there is a much larger application of this particular thing to our entire clientele. So he said, why don't you teach once a month a three-hour workshop to everybody at the Renaissance Center, and we'll open it up to the public. So I did that for a year, had a blast facilitating classes and teaching at the Renaissance Center, and I was in Beaucoup's office one day, and I remember it so clearly. I was whining. I said, Beaucoup, I've taken every single class you have to offer here at the Renaissance Center, and I still don't know what my business is.
And what happened next?
And he said, are you kidding me right now? Get out of my office. And I'm like, what? And he said, could I introduce you to your business? He's like, what is wrong with LinkedIn? Aren't you making any money? Do you hate doing it? You have a business. You've had a business all along. And I was really shocked and stunned in that moment because I was still thinking like a job seeker, like I was going to get into corporate America. And I certainly was not thinking like a business owner, or that it was even viable for me to take it full time and support myself doing LinkedIn. It was a shocking idea. And Beaucoup and I sat down and we sketched out a business plan for me, and I owned my business in that moment, and I have not looked back.
And that's now going on, what, 5-6 years now? I mean, 2012, 2013.
It's going on six, yes.
6 years. And the first month or two from just claiming that virtual space, how did it feel? Because it's difficult as a business owner, solopreneur, to go, oh my gosh, this is my business.
I was so unsure of myself. I did a lot of appointments for free just to get my own confidence up. I was like, what the hell am I doing? I don't know enough about LinkedIn to actually charge people money for this, you know, and I don't have a training method. I don't have training materials. I better whip something together and make it look good. So I really had to, boy, it is such a journey. Beaucoup told me in one of the classes that he taught, well, he told all of us who were in that class, that it would take 3 years after you really hung out your shingle to figure out what the hell your business really was. And I was like, no. I'm on the fast track. I'm going to be up and running and really sure of myself within 3 to 6 months. And he laughed. And I remember 3 years later, I was speaking at one of his graduating classes for Urban Fire, and I told that story, and he laughed so hard. And he said, are you guys taking notes? It really, you go through so many iterations, and still, even with a mature startup business, every 3 months, my business shifts in some new direction, and I have to figure out how to follow it.
And I would imagine also just the way LinkedIn changes, because you have to follow whatever algorithm they're doing, whatever platform changes they're making, and they can make it overnight. And you have to be the first one on the line to go, oh my gosh, this technology changed. How do we adapt and grow for this?
And that is really rough. This summer alone, 2,000 to 3,000 changes on the platform. And it seems like every time I teach a class or do a public speaking event, I find out something that's changed in the middle of the class and have to adapt on the fly. About, oh, that's new. What are the bigger ramifications and applications of that?
But have you seen it overall almost mature for the solopreneur? Have you seen it more adapt, not really towards, I mean, yes, it's still a place to look for a job. You can still put yourself out there and have buttons to check that say I'm looking for a job. But have you seen LinkedIn in a way adapt and change more geared towards the solopreneur business owner?
I think solopreneurs have really started to find their way on LinkedIn. And it seems to me, at least through my connections in my network, I see it used more by small businesses and entrepreneurs than anybody else. A lot of coaches, a lot of all kinds of service-oriented businesses are using LinkedIn really well through video and content marketing and blogging and all kinds of interesting things, surveys, you name it. But solopreneurs have really figured out how to use LinkedIn well, and the platform has adapted as they've seen the curve that things are going, and they try to stay ahead of that by providing new features that help with whatever people are using LinkedIn for.
And then also for the solopreneurs, but also talking about the small businesses and even medium-sized businesses you work for, what is your role you take on all the time for a business? So how can you help a company improve their stature, per se, on LinkedIn?
Well, one of the first things I look at is, do they have any branding in place? So what is their personality in the market? What's their edge? And then what is their profile? What is their company page? What's the look? First questions I'm going to ask somebody when I work with them is, who's your target market? And if they don't know who their target market is, there's some work to do. The kiss of death on LinkedIn is to be generic. You cannot attract everyone. You cannot appeal to everyone. You will appeal to no one. So you really do have to be a little bit more specific. You know, I'm a LinkedIn consultant, and people think, oh, well, you could help anybody with LinkedIn. I could, but that's not my forte. I can't possibly know all the uses of LinkedIn. So I've really concentrated on lead generation. And once I did that, it became so much easier for me to communicate with people what it is that I do. And so I help others try to get into what is that one thing that they do that people are going to be, oh, I need that. So I help people with their messaging and just becoming very clear, what are you doing on LinkedIn? What are you there for? What is your goal? What action do you want someone to take once they look at your profile? Do you provide a call to action, a sample of your work? Do you drive traffic to a website or a landing page? How can they get to know you better?
Those are all really good questions. I'm even thinking myself, how do I answer them? And I'm just doing the podcast part of things. So looking back, are you happy you made this transition? Are you happy you jumped and said, all right, I'm going to do this full time now? Has it created, you know, I say, you know, this is a realistic situation. Has it caused lack of sleep? Are you happy? Where are you after these 6 years of making a commitment to doing now LinkedIn for lead generation full time?
Oh my God. That's not a simple answer. I will never go back to working for someone else full time. I can't see it happening. Unless it was maybe in a startup environment or something that was truly innovative and creative and just out there on the cutting edge of something. But no, I wouldn't take a minute of it back. When I went full-time, when I gave up my part-time job and went full-time into my business, the first month was sleepless. I had a moment the day after I left my job, and I was like, what the hell am I doing? I have no safety net anymore. I just had so much doubt. But I was like, the alternative is not a choice anymore either. There was no going back. There was no bridge to someplace else. I had to figure it out along the way. So I just, every day, it was just, you wake up, you put one foot in front of the other, you do your marketing and your lead generation, you talk to a lot of people, you network, and you make it work. I did not have the luxury of failing at my business. So I had to figure out what was successful and what wasn't for messaging, and even the way you present yourself at a networking event, the way you communicate what it is that you do, the offers that you have, they say it takes 5 to 12 touches with someone before they're going to do business with you. Well, I was fairly new to California. I didn't know anyone. I will have to say the very first time I ever networked in my life was here in California. I was so far outside of what was known and my people that I knew I was going to have to, as an introvert, get over myself. I was terrified my first networking event. I seriously thought I was going to die right there.
And I have to ask, because I am a native Californian, so I can't tell, but did you notice a cultural shift? Did you notice a difference of people in Madison, which I love Wisconsin, if anyone's listening from Madison, Wisconsin? I love that state. But did you notice a shift in people, in culture, in the attitude of Northern California that was different than Madison, Wisconsin?
I love Madison, too, but as hard as I tried to fit in and really resonate in Madison, which is supposedly a very liberal city, I never fit. I always felt like an alien. And coming out here, I don't think I was here for 2 or 3 weeks before I realized, I was like, this really feels comfortable. This feels good. You know, no one gives a damn if you have purple hair and you call yourself a unicorn. As long as you are authentic and you rock it, that's cool. I cannot imagine myself leaving California or Northern California, Marin. I have never felt so welcome and normal, whatever that might be.
And most people don't say Marin County is normal, so it's kind of an oxymoronic statement to say normal Marin in the same sentence, because this county is quirky into itself.
I love it here. I love it. This is the first time I've ever really felt like I found where I belonged and I found my people, and that people just accept me. And, you know, there's still some judgment. It's Marin. But I have never been happier ever before in my life. I have never felt like I'm more useful and having an impact and energized and excited about doing the work that I need to do. Bookkeeping is an exception, but I love working one-on-one with people. I love seeing them figure out LinkedIn for themselves and say, oh my God, that's all it takes? Really? Why did I wait so long? I really love what I do. And I just never thought it could be this good. It could be this fun to talk to people all the time and collaborate and network. And that's normal. That's how you do business.
And I have a testimonial as well, because I just heard you speak just this past week. And as much as I thought I knew about LinkedIn and social media networking, as I talk a lot about the Facebook world, there was more information I didn't even know in LinkedIn. So just a big kudos to your knowledge of working in the LinkedIn environment. And I even have like a whole sheet of homework that I still have to do. There's like a checklist of an entire page. And I've got about three out of about 20 of these checklist boxes to double check myself on. So Angela is speaking this truth beyond belief because I've seen it in action. I've increased my numbers just in the past week because Angela is even telling me, take the business cards if you met someone, connect them on LinkedIn. And when I got home after this luncheon I was at with her, I did just that. Like I said, okay. She said, like, do within 24 hours. I'm like, I did within four. I mean, it was that, her knowledge, her update, her ability to speak in front of people, just even for an introvert, is commendable because it's not easy. Public speaking is not easy whatsoever.
That was a journey too, but I'm really glad that I had the guts to use public speaking as one of my business model builders.
Now, this was wonderful. Angela, thank you so much for coming on this podcast.
Thank you, Hayden. It has been a real pleasure.
And we will be talking soon.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to After the Leap with Hayden Adams. For more information, see us on iTunes and download and subscribe to us. Or for more information, you can see our website at nautilusdesigns.com or find us on LinkedIn. Thank you.